Hi, I'm Scott Hansman, and it's Azure Friday. We're here with Josh Twist talking about API management.
Yep.
What is API management? I know what web APIs are.
Yep.
I want to manage them, I guess.
It's pretty close. That's actually on the money. Let's quickly think about three scenarios.
Okay.
So one is you've built a web API, and you've decided that's how you're going to do business. You're going to sell that API. And there's a bunch of people doing this out in the world today. You know, you're going to sell a number of API calls that get some value somehow. Maybe you're selling the data behind it or some service, like sending SMSs or making phone calls. You're going to monetize that API. So that's scenario one. Scenario two is you're going to indirectly monetize it. It's going to help you be more successful in doing business. A good example of that is you partner with other businesses, and them getting access to your data and services is generally good for your product. So we worked with a health company, it was one of our launch partners, Wellmark, Blue Cross and Blue Shield. And they want to make it easy for their corporate customers to call their API so they can create an integrated experience inside their own portals. Make sense? And then the third scenario is something we're doing actually with our own Microsoft IT department. So we have an IT department here. And they have, I don't know, something like 20,000 APIs internally. And if you want to use those as an employee of Microsoft or as part of a team, it's red tape. How do you even know this thing exists? So they want to make an easy way for people to discover, use, and have managed access to those APIs.
Meaning that I use my existing Microsoft logins, I can be revoked,
that kind
I
of
can
thing.
Be yep. throttled, whatever.
Throttled, rate limiting are key attributes. I think, so the point is, once you decide one of these three scenarios is what you want to do, you open up a can of worms. So you know, you're a developer, I know this, you like writing code, and you know that good documentation is important. You know, there's nothing worse than an API with no documentation or crappy documentation. You want to accelerate developers in terms of being successful when they're trying to use your platform. If you were going to launch a marketing campaign, let's say, I don't know, you're going to launch a brand of razors is my current theme, right, which fits, right? And you had an Azure website. It would be unthinkable that you would launch that marketing campaign without having analytics plugged into your website.
Of course.
It's equally unthinkable that you would have an API program and not have analytics about your APIs.
But with a website, I can go to Google Analytics or Microsoft App Insights and plug it in.
Yep.
With an API, it might be a whole other thing I have to build to manage for the access, the key management, and the analytics in the back end.
Bingo, yeah. And so all of these are problems we can make go away with a turnkey service called Azure API Management. All of those and more.
Make it go away.
Make it go away. So you can create an instance of Azure API Management here in the Azure portal.
Okay.
It's as easy as everything else. You know, I click New, App Services, API Management, Create. Enter some details into this wizard, and in a matter of minutes, you'll have a new instance that's all yours.
All right.
We have, you know, what you'd expect, a kind of a dashboard here, right in the Azure portal, that shows you some overview of the traffic that
and
you've got coming through.
This isn't an instance of the API; it's an instance of the management service.
That's a really good point. Maybe we should just flip actually to this slide real quick, and explain how this works. So you have an API that you created.
Can it be anywhere or has to be at Azure?
It can be anywhere.
So I can host it in my own thing.
You can host it in your own thing. It can be on premises in your own data center. It can even be in a rival cloud written on PHP and MySQL. We love it if it's in Azure, of course, but we don't mind. Azure API Management sits in front of that. You have a publisher portal, which I'll show you in a minute. You have a developer portal, which helps developers learn how to use your API. So this is where that documentation comes in.
I see. So I'm the publisher, and people who want to use it are the developers.
I have some characters here. So you're the publisher.
Oh, there you go.
The developers come in and use this, right? They build apps or services or whatever is it, websites, whatever it is they need to build, and that calls our proxy. They don't call your API directly. And this is where some of the magic happens. Mm. So analytics collection, rate limiting, quotas, throttling, even projection. So if this is an XML API, we can turn it into a JSON API without you writing a line of code.
Okay, so that, you got me there. Okay, that's cool. That's attractive.
So let me show you very quickly. We've looked at the portal dashboard.
Yeah.
And now what I want to do is go and manage some APIs. And we have our publisher portal, which I mentioned. So I can just one-click sign onto that by clicking this little button down here. And here it loads up, and I'll get an at-a-glance view of all of my APIs.
Okay.
Some other stuff I'll see is we actually have an issues log. So we provide a way for you to engage with developers. They can log issues about your APIs, and you'll see them in this dashboard and say, oh, someone's having a problem. I can engage with him directly. So we solve that problem in a turnkey fashion for you. And that's all part of this developer portal up here that we can take a look at in a minute. What I want to show you, super quick, is just how easy it is to manage an API. Okay. So we have an API that I like to use for these demos, which is available to anybody. It's called the Calculator API. It adds numbers.
It's very
super powerful. I think we're going to replace some of the low-level classes in .NET with this thing. And you can add two numbers, A and B, right?
Right.
So give me two numbers, Scott. Come on, test me out. Nice small numbers. I wrote this code, you know.
99 plus 1.
99 plus 1. I like that.
Check all your edge cases.
And I hit get, and it'll probably blow up. And there we go, we got a result. So you can see using Postman, right, which is just a tool available on the internet.
Efficiently encoded in XML.
It is encoded in XML.
Very appropriate.
This might be a slightly lame API. Anyone can try this. It's running on web roles.
But
it's not
point.
Managed.
Got it.
What I'm going to do now is turn this into a managed API. Right.
Okay.
So I'm going to grab this just to save time. I'm going to add a new API. Notice you'll see me do a bit of data entry here. It's dull.
Sure.
I can import APIs in Waddle and Swagger formats, right?
So Waddle and Swagger are like WSDL for standard APIs today.
You got it. You got it. That's exactly what they are. And we have some. There are a bunch of NuGet packages for people who build web API to enable exporting Waddle and Swagger straight from your web API without writing any code.
Okay.
So we're going to call this the, I don't know, something fun like the calculator matron, I think is good. And the suffix is calc. I hit save. So I've pasted in the back end. I've told API management where the original API lives. And I can come in here and enter a bunch of settings. And this is metadata. We're going to use this to generate those documents that we talked about, the documentation. So this is an API that can add numbers. Hit save on that. And now we're going to configure the operation. So I say add operation. Going to paste some stuff in here. Specify the verb. Notice there's all sorts of features in here. So I can add a display name.
Okay. And I see you have a URL template here. You paste it in the URL proper, but you basically will pull out those pieces, and you're informing the API management system about those parameters.
Yeah, I'm going to change this slightly just now, actually. And what I'm going to do is say A and B to create two parameters that the system's aware of. Let me just clear this.
This is interesting, though, because there's an implication here just in looking at that between URL template and rewrite URL template that I might have an unattractive PHP query string API that I could turn into a lovely.
As always, you're on the money. So why don't we make this a RESTful add a, so the REST police are going to come after me here. So we're going to make this a RESTful API. I'm going to call it add.
Add slash A slash B.
Yeah. Why not?
We can do it. Do you want API slash or just add?
No, it can be add. We don't need the API. Let's imagine that's superfluous. So we can rewrite on the fly in the proxy, so you don't have to change anything.
Nice, nice.
It sends that we have some parameters, so I can document them. This is the first number. Set the type. And again, this is all metadata that's going to drive that documentation.
Right, because there was nothing about it that would say it was a number, and you're adding on to that. If it was Waddle or Swagger, it would know that it was a number.
That would be included in that definition document.
You're saying number and integer?
Well, I'm just showing that I can actually come up with my own types. I'm not limited to
it.
Right?
See.
So, I can enter anything I want in there. I can enter example values. So in the documentation, sometimes, what do I put in there? Here's some possible values. So I'll say 4 is a possible value. I can even give example responses. Right. So what does a 401 and authorize look like? What does a 200 OK look like? And I can provide different content types. So let's say you do content negotiation, or I think Coneg, they call it in the trade, right? Text XML, I was going to say, well, this is an example response. I think it was result
and
value.
All of this is not wasted time, because this is all going to turn into docs that they will see.
You will see it in just a second. So I'm going to
I think sometimes
save.
When we see a lot of text boxes like this, we ask ourselves, enter description. What should I really put in there? How rich should that be?
Yep. And that's up to you, depending on what you want to see in the developer portal experience that the other guys see. So we've created our API. Last thing I need to do is publish it. So I just need to add it to a product. And a product is simply a grouping construct. It allows access to different groups of developers, right? So I get group-based access to my APIs. And a product is also a place at which we apply policies.
Okay.
And policies allow me to change the behavior of an API, XML to JSON, rate limiting, quotering, etc. And so I need to add this to a product so it's available in the portal.
So you might have a, the mathematician Wolfram competitor product with all your APIs around math.
Yep.
And then you might have the JSON version of that, which is the same one except in JSON.
Yeah, and maybe you also have a free trial version. that expires after 30 days, and you have a premium version. And you decide you charge $1,000 for that, and therefore it has different rate limits and different quotas.
Gotcha.
And so you can kind of, it's basically just a name that allows you to attach and construct different things.
Cool.
So I've added that, I've published it. So let's take a really quick peek at the developer portal.
Okay, and this is a little tricky because we are developers, but when we say developer portal, this is the thing that the person who's going to use my API sees. It's their portal.
It's your partner portal, might be another way of putting it.
Okay.
You as the customer.
That makes sense.
And so this is what you get out of the box. Now, maybe it's ugly, maybe it's not, but you can style and customize this entirely to your heart's content.
All right.
And so a developer who wasn't signed in, I'm signed in as the administrator, it's single sign me in, would just click sign up here. They can sign in with Google, Microsoft account, Facebook, etc.
Okay.
But I can see the APIs, and here they appear in their beautiful glory. So you can see here's the text that I added, and then I'll get a description for each API, all driven by the metadata that we entered.
I see, and you could have theoretically filled up with code samples and all that
stuff. Here's a cool thing, is we actually generate the code sample based on the metadata you entered. So here's how you would,
example
of how you would call this from a Ruby backend.
That is fancy.
Yeah. So that's API management.
That's pretty cool. Can you call it from like Fiddler real quick?
Well, so if we want to call the service, there is a little trick in the bag here, which is our console.
Oh, so you can call it from here?
I can call it from here real time. And so we have, it's seen the parameters, it's created text boxes for them. Give me another number, Scott.
1 + 1. I'm not very creative.
Struggling here. I choose the subscription key. That identifies me as a developer because I might have different subscriptions.
Right, right.
So which ones do I want to use?
Oh, I see. If you had gold, silver, and platinum or whatever.
Bingo, yeah. I can try
it
out.
What would they see?
They will
maybe
see.
Trial people don't get real numbers. They get.
You could do all kinds
they
of things.
They get bad
edition.
Yep,
yep. So I hit get. They get different rate limiting as well, and you can test that, right?
Right.
So I'm going to say get. That's going to actually invoke the API in real time, and we'll see the response down here. We'll see all of the headers that came back, and we'll even see that XML all pretty
in a friendly format.
Yep.
Very cool. All right. Well, we're getting an introduction to Azure API management, and we're going to dig even deeper in subsequent videos here on Azure Friday. Thank you.